Hello guys, welcome to the JJ Show. I'm so glad you guys are tuning in. I hope you guys have a fun time listening to this one. This one should be really exciting and a lot of debating, not only between us, but hopefully with you guys at home. We kind of going to go over some Phoenix race weekend, some controversy with Mike Joy. I know Hendrix has penalties possibly coming up, so we talked about that. We kind of previewed some Atlanta racing coming up. I'm excited for that, predictions for that, and a lot more that went down in this episode. So I hope you guys love it and tuned in. Continue to keep sharing this podcast episode in the podcast to your friends and family. Surely be greatly appreciated. But I hope you guys love and enjoy this episode. But we'll let you guys get right into it.
Hopefully you don't hit any buttons.
Yeah, that too. Okay, so what was I guess we can go down to the list. So first one to start off. It's just kind of quick, easy questions, I guess.
Right, let me go look at it again.
Okay. We can take however long we want on them, but because we'll kind of go through these and then we kind of go through our fantasy and then go through our predictions for Atlanta.
Okay.
Okay, so first one is the JRM teammates way too aggressive around each other? We kind of talked about this in the first one a little bit, but this one's
yeah, they are
brainer, no brainer. Yeah, for sure.
It's more than a no brainer.
Any solutions to as to what you tell them?
Fucking to do, stop baby. Being idiots. Stop being idiots around each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure at some point in time in the season, Junior will step in, and that's normally what it'll take to get them to start.
He should do it. He should be doing it right about now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think after the Noah Gregson, after his Road America thing, I think he really stepped it up and actually drove better. So I'm sure these guys will get their butts in gear once they get yelled at.
Hopefully.
And I mean, if you threaten their jobs, you're wrecking cars, start threatening their job, they're going to start racing a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's a no-brainer. Second one, which would probably be a little bit more tough to even decide, but is Sammy Smith going to be the next NASCAR superstar after his win at Phoenix?
Too early to tell.
Yeah. I mean, he did good in ARCA. He won a bunch of races just like every other typical driver. But
yeah, but it's still too early to tell.
You rarely ever see young guys win in the Xfinity level.
Yeah, look at Sam Mayer. He's still trying to win his first race. So
yeah, I think he'll be if he gets top quality ride, I think he'll be in the sport for a long time. I mean, you don't win Xfinity races at a very young age like that.
Yeah.
It's a tough business. Yeah. Next one. So this one's been kind of stirring about
for weeks.
Is Mike Joy wrong for calling out the trolls on Twitter?
Hell no.
I don't care. I mean, I don't like the idea of him saying it on air because it just looks wrong. But in a sense, he's right though. Like, you know, all these people that are talking on Twitter, don't have no idea how what it takes to run these races and what needs to be done to make their quota money wise.
Yeah.
I think he said something about on Twitter this week before the race on Sunday, something like you have to make a certain amount of commercials for the races, because without commercials, you know, the sport would just die within a matter of weeks if you do no commercials. And
commercials is what pays the bills. So
yeah. And the only other way you could do it is doing a subscription based type thing, and there's a possibility they could go to that. But even then, there's probably still have some commercial advertising somewhere.
Like F1 can sustain themselves because they make a lot of money. That's why they can do no commercial free. You can't do that with NASCAR. Because NASCAR needs the commercials to bring in a money stream. So
yeah. So
companies pay tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars for those key commercial spots. So
yeah, that's true.
I remember. And those are huge. I watched this guy's YouTube channel who did a 4-part series on the 2001 Daytona 500, and you know those little back then they had these, when they do the starting lineup, they had the little car graphics weaving back and forth like superimposed behind the driver. Just for one sponsor to have the logos on their car, and that it cost them $400,000.
Then
Fox ended up rehashing it and dropping the price down to $100,000. And then when the 500 rolled around, you actually had pretty much every sponsor for every car, except for maybe a couple, like the beer sponsors, because actually showing up on the cars. So,
yeah. I've never understood, like, why some of these sponsors would spend so much money to put, like, I guess I could see it as a brand, like, you're trying to get, you know, more customers, but I can't see people just going out to this specific business or whatever and just because of NASCAR. I mean, some I can see, yeah, but I don't know. It's just they invest so much money into it. I'm just curious if they even make the money back.
Yeah.
From it. I know Cheddar's, they came out saying that they like had like a significant increase in their like social media thing, and seen some growth just because of having it on their sponsor on Kyle Busch's car. So that's good to hear for Kyle, because that means that Cheddar's will definitely be committed to them. That's the case. So I guess still on that same topic, then, should they do more side by side commercials or?
Yes. I would say. Not really.
I think what how they're doing it now, it's okay. On super speedways, though, when there's a lot more action, you kind of have to do more side by side, because you're missing so much.
Well, then there are companies that pay for the full screen.
Yeah, that is true.
Commercial though. So you still need to have full screen commercials. So,
yeah.
So
I feel like the people that are complaining, they're gonna be complaining once they have to pay a subscription to even watch the races. So, either way, gonna be happy with what you got.
Yeah.
Okay. So, next one. is the new short track package any much better than what we saw last year? Which this was the only this was the first race.
Too early to tell.
Yeah.
Because Phoenix sucks regardless. Doesn't matter which package you use. So.
Yeah, this track, it just has not been good since they reconfigured it, really.
They should have never reconfigured it. Should have just repaved it and left it the way it was.
Yeah. I do like the dog leg, in a sense.
I don't. Nope. Well, nope. It's too gimmicky.
I mean, yes. But just imagine being there at that race in the stands and watching cars just go six wide and just all over the place. Like, that would be so much.
You can literally go three wide off a turn two on the old configuration, even with the dog like the way it was.
Yeah,
Smart Trucks Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, they did it. So.
Yeah, but like you know, now you can go six wide. Shoot, you can even run down.
I don't care how wide you can go through the dog leg. It's a gimmick.
Well, I mean,
I do not like the reconfiguration. The initial reconfiguration. So
some tracks you kind of have to add certain things, like, you know. Texas, obviously, you got to add the PJ1 to make it somewhat raceable. You know, some tracks you have to kind of do a little bit something to make it better. And I think Phoenix, you know, it had its good times back in the old configuration, but it also had its bad times too. You know, like what we're seeing now. You know,
The old configuration of Texas was the best Texas, and the old reconfiguration of Phoenix was the best Phoenix. Yeah, there's some tracks you don't need to reconfigure. Hell, Kentucky was better before they had the reconfiguration. So
that'll agree. The problem with all these people that they keep doing this is a lot of the fans will. They want to see what they're seeing now with the dog leg, you know, the six wide and all these crazy restarts, but it creates for a boring, caution free race.
Okay, I don't give two shits what the other. I don't give two shits if the race goes caution free.
Well,
literally, that was a thing in the 90s. Races going caution free. Well,
true.
Boo hoo. Race goes caution free. If you don't want to watch the race, don't fucking watch the race. Easy as that.
If the race goes caution free, then we're pretty much watching F1. The spread out 20-second difference.
I'm going to watch NASCAR races no matter what, if they go caution free or if they're a wreck fest. I'm going to watch the race no matter what. And this goes back to the Mike Joy thing, why he called out keyboard warriors. Because you get these fucking keyboard warriors, you get bitch and moan about, oh, your race was bad. Oh, the race was this. But we'll be bitching if the race is a wreck fest, the race is a caution-free fest, or if the race is boring. They're going to bitch no matter what. So why is NASCAR trying to appease the little bitches that are going to bitch and moan about everything, no matter what they do? Why are they trying to appease that instead of appeasing the people who are actually enjoying watching the races?
True.
Like, why appease a sect of your fan base that's just going to bitch and moan all the goddamn time instead of actually trying to appease the ones who actually watch the race for enjoyment and not to be a bunch of little bitch keyboard warriors? So
the thing is, there's like very little fans that don't complain about anything, really. If it's the older fans, they'll still complain.
If they're gonna bitch and moan about the races, guess what? Don't fucking watch the race.
Well, if you say that, then nobody's gonna watch it, and the sport will really.
I'm gonna watch the race. I'll watch it.
Yeah. So, like I said,
there's still probably more NASCAR fans that are gonna watch the races no matter what the hell they do, than there are that are gonna bitch and moan about it. So,
and all of them are going to complain because
you get more people complaining than you actually. There's more people who complain than there actually that enjoy actually watching the race. And you shouldn't be trying to appease that sect of the fan base. You should be trying to appease the sect of the fan base that actually enjoy watching the races and ain't going to bitch like a bunch of little keyboard warriors. So.
There's a lot more keyboard warriors than there is pleasable fans. That's the problem. A lot of them get on there and complain about it, and you kind of have to lean towards those people because
it's the same part of the NASCAR fan base that called Chase Elliott's championship a Mickey Mouse championship. So you're not gonna appease everybody. And if you keep on trying to appease a sect of the fan base that's just going to bitch and moan about whoever who wins a title or who wins a race and whatnot, then they can go fuck themselves. So that's my opinion.
Some things that just aren't meant to be fixed, which they constantly keep trying to fix things, and it's not working out.
Just saying, they should have never gone to the 2015 Arrow package when they had the 2014 package. I was like, they actually had good racing. But because fans bitched and moaned about the 2014 package, that's why they changed to the 2015 Arrow package. Yet, you had some of the best racing in probably 10 years with that 2014 Arrow package, and they killed it when they went to the 2015 Arrow package. So.
Yeah. A lot of them don't want that spread out caution free racing, which that's kind of what it was.
I don't care. I want them to get rid of stages. So if they still want to award stage points at the time, but don't throw a fucking caution.
That's the thing too. You can't get rid of those. That helps keep the field close and try to keep it somewhat competitive.
Then all you're turning NASCAR into is a motorized version of the WWE. That's all you're doing.
It's not, no, because you're not predicting who, or you're not like scripting who's winning and what.
You're scripting where cautions are thrown.
Yeah, but that's still up to the drivers to go out there. That's still going out there
You don't need to be throwing a caution to award stage points. If you want to award stage points, you can still keep the race green.
So why in other sports, why should other teams? Why should the teams be allowed to call timeouts? Like the game should keep going. You know, that's why should there be a 2-minute warning? Why should there be halftime? You know, why should there be an end of quarters? Like keep the play going. It's the same thing, kind of like with this. It's like a timeout or a quarter break or whatever you want to call it. It helps. In this case, it helps keep the field, you know, somewhat competitive. It creates a storyline. You know, something could happen.
You already have storylines going into the race.
Well, not really now because you don't have. You don't have that practice. And if you keep it green the whole entire way and say like a William Byron that dominates, that's just going to happen the entire day.
Oh, well, like, guess like, what? Get your fucking cars better. Easy as that. Make your cars better. Don't let him dominate. Make your car equipment better. Make your car better throughout the race.
It wouldn't be fun. I mean, and the stage cautions are not really factoring out who's winning the race. Like it's not changing the outcome because you know you still
have. Then why have them? Like, if NASCAR wants to award stage points, but you don't need to be throwing a caution for it.
I don't see what's wrong with it. I mean, you're going to have to make a pit stop anyways. Why not just throw the caution and have their pit stop and then keep going? I think once we get to the road courses and we start to see the impact of no stage cautions, people are definitely going to want, are going to start complaining and want them back. Because it's going to get spread out. It's going to get spread out super quick.
It's a fucking road course. What do you expect? All road courses get spread out.
Like, I know, but it's just not going to be as entertaining.
You're bitching to the blind if you're going to bitch about a road course getting spread out. Because it's a fucking road course.
I would rather watch a race and enjoy it because of the action instead of falling asleep because the leader is 20 seconds ahead of all the cars in the top 10. You know, it's just like that's not fun to watch. It's like F1.
I got a solution. If you don't want to be 20 seconds behind the leader, make your cars better.
That's plain and simple. That's almost impossible. There's so much that goes into it to making those cars faster. You gotta
guess what? If your cars suck, you're gonna fall behind, and your cars are gonna suck. So.
I don't know. Okay, so is what Denny and Ross, what Denny did to Ross Sunday, was that fair or foul?
Yes, it was fair.
I think it was fair too. Ross has given Denny so much headache that last season. We'll see what's wrong with it. I've been seeing a lot of people mad about the fact that he even like admits it on his podcast. Okay. And
I like him better for admitting it. So
true.
Like,
I don't.
If you don't get run into, don't fucking run him over. So shouldn't have run him over last year. So plain and simple.
But that's kind of the same. I don't know. I'm not gonna get into that topic. But I think it's fair game. I don't know if this is going to be the end of that thing though, because once they get like they're going to race for wins a lot of the season, that there's no way Ross is not going to get into Denny.
I hope it costs them both the title. So
I don't think that's going to happen unless Ross does his. Well, I guess you can't do that no more. Okay, well, talking about title chances, is William Byron the Cup Series championship favorite as of right now? Just really early in the season.
He did this last year, so let's wait till like race like 14 or 15 and see how many top fives he has at that point. So
yeah.
He won two races in the first like eight races last year, and then decided, "Hey, I'm not gonna show up in the top 10 the rest of the year." So.
But when he gets down to playoff time, he's been one of the most consistent drivers I've seen ever in a while in the playoffs. Like he's constantly running top five come playoff time. I think if you give him the cars that he has now, which he has, seems like Hendrick has probably one of the better cars of the field.
Obviously. They have the best car in the field. They have the best cars in the field.
Yeah. If they keep that up, I think, Byron's definitely got to be the favorite to win the championship. I think he can possibly replicate what Larson did in 2021 in his season. Winning, I think he won like 9 races that year.
10.
I think he could possibly do that. He's like one of the most consistent guys out there. So, obviously right now he's the championship favorite, but we have seen him fall off during the summer months all the way until the playoff time.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But he's definitely going to have a career year, and it's going to raise his stocks though. Where people are going to want him once he's a free agent, which I doubt Hendrick will let him go.
No, Hendrick's already signed him.
Okay. So he's going to be – I think he's going to be there for a while.
All four drivers are locked up through at least 2026. So.
Yeah. That's good.
Last time I checked.
I'm sure he's committed to these guys. One, they have sponsorship back.
Just wait. Once Chase comes back, who's gonna stop Hendrick Motorsports?
Yeah, that's true. What's what? I mean, Joe Gibbs is probably the closest to stopping him.
They're probably the second best team, and then Hendrick had like 8 seconds on Hamlin in third place on Sunday.
Yeah,
hell, Byron had 4 on Larson alone. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
Larson, but they're close. They're probably
Larson. Yeah,
Joe Gibbs. If they just, you know, find the smallest thing that Hendrick has better than them, and they can fix that, they can be, you know, within like seconds of, you know, just beating them. Christopher Bell, he's, you know, obviously showing the same consistency as well. He's been running top fives. Obviously, Denny's been doing him Denny things, running, you know, fairly decent till it comes championship race. And Daniel, let me chuck that away. But
well,
no.
By the way, Larson is signed through 2026. Chase is signed through 2027. Byron is signed through 2025. But Valvoline is a sponsor through 2027. So I'm sure they'll re-sign him. So. And then Bowman is through 2026. So,
see, they got a couple years.
They're the team with the longest driver pairings in NASCAR right now.
So. Yeah, that's one thing that Hendrick does. He doesn't ever get rid of guys. He keeps them and he just works with them to make them, you know, better drivers.
You know what's funny? Chase is the senior driver at Hendrick. So.
You sure? Larson's been there. Larson's been racing since 2014.
Let me rephrase that. At Hendrick, he's the senior driver at Hendrick.
Yeah.
Because he's been with Hendrick longer.
Who gets more say, though, Larson or Chase? Because Larson's been racing.
Chase.
For a lot longer. Oh, not a lot longer, Chase. But just a couple
Byron
years.
Byron even admitted it in his post-race interview at Vegas that Chase has a lot of input when it comes to stuff with Hendrick. So, because he's a senior guy at Hendrick. Yes, I understand Larson's been in Cup since 2014, but Chase is the senior driver at Hendrick. Larson's only been there since 2021. So.
Yeah. So I kind of want to go to this topic a little bit. I'm going to go off track here just for a second. Sunday, I follow this, I think two like Alex Bowman fan pages, and one of them was complaining about how Bowman was like running in the back, which he wasn't really running the back. He ran about top 10 most of the day. He wasn't as fast as his two teammates, but he was complaining about how the two Hendrick team, the Larson and Byron, were so much faster, but he's not like near him speed.
Does the guy not realize that Bowman started outside of the top 15? Like,
yeah.
And then Phoenix is really hard to pass at.
Yeah. So today, like, and that, I was listening.
Is that dude mentally like challenged or something? Like, doesn't know basic fundamentals of Phoenix?
Well, I don't think he knows anything about racing in general. He was blaming on the crew chief too, which Blake Harris has not done anything to hurt Bowman this season. He's actually helped him tremendously. I don't know. And my only answer was really that it could be racing etiquette. You know, Bowman maybe
Bowman started eight. Bowman started 18th and finished ninth, and he ran between like 15th to 20th for like a half the race, and then started.
No, he ran. He ran 12th to 11th.
You're gonna really there. Make me have to go. You're gonna really make me go on Racing References and look at the loop data. Okay,
I'm gonna look it up too.
All right. United Rentals work. Alex Bowman. Where do I find the loot data? 2023.
I could have sworn he ran about 12, 13, probably dropped back down to 15th a couple times. Well, apparently Alex Bowman is not a driver to search on Racing Reference, because that does not work.
Loop data Racing Reference. He ran in. There we go. Driver loop data Racing Reference. There we go. All right, I'm guessing I gotta just Google Alex Bowman. Here we go. What? Okay. Alex Bowman, loop data Racing Reference. Here we go. Because it will tell you what his average position was. 2023 loop data Racing Reference.
Can't find anything. What the heck?
Oh, here we go. Alrighty. Loop data.
Here we go.
Oh, wait, no, that's Pocono. I don't want Pocono.
Data.
Okay. Phoenix.
So, average position, it says. Wait, was this last race, race number 4? So Daytona.
Yeah.
So average position was 12th, it says. Passing difference, 9. He had 79 green flag passes.
Yeah. Yeah, so he ran 8th to 20th the whole race, pretty much.
Driver rating.
He ran 82%. He ran 82% of the laps in the top 15.
I don't see any more other data. I don't know. I'm sure he was down in 20th at the beginning of the race, the first stage. I think last time when I saw the beginning of the stage one, he was like 16th or whatever. But he slowly made his way up to about 12th and then ran about there.
Yeah, I still think that person that was bitching and moaning was like, doesn't know the fact that he started almost 20th. So,
yeah. I don't know. Some people just don't, they don't like pay attention during the races or what. I don't know, but really annoying seeing that. And somehow I managed to get a touch into that. All right. I guess we kind of already talked about this one a little bit on the topic of Phoenix. If it deserves to have two races, especially having the championship race.
If it was the old configuration, then yes.
I don't think it does. Even though it has supposedly one of the nicest fan zones, which I'm sure it does. From what they've described.
Like I said, if it was the original configuration of Phoenix, then yes. The current one, hell no. So.
No, I don't. I wish they would hurry up and change it. I think the only thing that's keeping them there is, like I said, the fan zone, the fan experience, all that.
it's
really nice facility, and I would like to, weirdly enough, and probably not the most popular opinion, but I would like to see it actually at a Daytona or Talladega. I feel like that would be
no. Insane. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That might be the most insane.
That is the race. Most. No, it wouldn't. You cannot have the championship race at a track like Daytona or Talladega where you have no control over what can happen.
I mean, you can. The entire race, you can just ride in the back and then the last couple laps, go for it.
So what you're saying is you want the four championship contenders to be caught up in the same wreck, and then whoever finishes higher wins the title?
Yeah, I mean, just imagine them getting caught up in wrecks and then them trying to repair that car. And so you just have
the championship. You can't repair the car. If you get caught up in a wreck and it knocks you out of the race, you can't repair your car.
If it wrecks, then, you know, if it
knocks you completely out of the race, you can't repair your car. Remember the
TV? Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, we've seen Ryan Blaney, you know, finish almost every single one of these plate races, and he's been wrecked many different times with some of the worst damage. That would be so cool to see a championship four come down to, you know, two wrecked cars or whatever, you know, racing 30 seconds behind the lead pack or whatever. Like, I don't know, it'd just be a different style of craziness. And then I think if whoever wins that last race advances to the clash or whatever, doesn't even have to worry about the heat or whatever, bullcrap. You just go right into the clash.
Hell no.
That'll definitely make people race really hard just to have something to shoot for. I don't know. I think the plate racing, at least at Atlanta, you know, have a championship race, that'd be a pretty interesting watch.
Atlanta's the worst gimmick track they have on the Cup Circuit, so.
No, it's all right. It's a good. I would prefer the old Greek configuration with the old asphalt, but
they should have just repaved Atlanta and left it the way it was.
Yeah, and have the same outcome. I mean, the Atlanta in the early 2000s was great, but you were just going to get the same outcome, which probably actually wouldn't be like it was. It'd probably be a different type of racing because the cars are so much slower with more downforce. And the ticket sales were down. So they kind of had to do something to help bring in money at that track.
I guess.
Okay, we already kind of talked about this one already. Kind of, well, Hendrick maintained their dominance all season long. I'm sure they will, but there's going to be a team that will catch up. And I think it's going to be the JGR guys. They'll catch up, I think, by mid-season, if not sooner. Is the Fox Booth underperforming than what it has been?
No.
I think this year it's been worse. I don't know what it is, but it's not great. Boyer's been he's been kind of annoying in a way. He's been wanting a lot of late race cautions. And when he gets those late race cautions and, like, say a caution happens on the last lap or whatever, he just doesn't show excite. Like, he gets bummed out that it doesn't end the way he wants it. I don't know. I just don't like the way the duo. And I don't think Harvick's going to make it any much better. Like, he's great.
I mean, the worst decision they did is put Danica Patrick in the booth. So.
She didn't do too bad. Like, honestly.
She fucking sucks.
Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about, but she at least did not.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to have someone, if you're going to have someone in the booth, they need to know what the hell they're talking about. So.
True. But none of them know.
And last time I checked, she was a 25th to 30th place car when she was driving racing in Cup. So
she did race Cup though, so she knows some things. Like she knows more than what an average human being would be.
I literally know more than she does.
You know more about the Cup series than she does. There's no way.
Literally, I could probably do better than what the fuck she does.
Honestly, as long as you don't reference IndyCar every sentence, anybody could be better.
Yes, I wouldn't.
But excluding Danica out of this, and I feel like Clint Bowyer and whatever guest they'll have on, it's kind of ruined Mike Joy's performance too. It's kind of made him in an awkward spot to where he's not as he just doesn't bring the creativity anymore or something. I just you gotta find a guy that brings something, in which Clint Bowyer has character. He brings a lot of
Bowyer's fucking annoying. So
yeah. But you need somebody like his personality. He just doesn't fit the booth role.
No, Bowyer doesn't fit being in a booth. So
yeah.
At all.
I think with NBC has a good lineup going there. I think they should surrender Junior to Fox to help that out and kind of keep NBC the way it is with Rick Allen, Steve, and Jeff Burton. Because you don't need four guys in the booth. Like, that's just way too many guys. Will Alex Bowman keep his points lead after Atlanta? I don't think so. Because it's a super speedway race, so he'll probably get caught up in a wreck.
Yeah.
I think he loses his top 10 streak. And that'll be the end of that. Will Josh Berry improve on his 10th place finish at Phoenix at Atlanta?
No.
That's kind of hard to say. I mean, it's a wild card. But I will say I think he does in a sense because he'll have an equal playing field, unlike if we were at a mile and a half or something that where it takes the experience of knowing the car. So he has a better chance at definitely improving on that.
A chance? Do I think he's going to? No.
Why not? He's ran good at every plate race.
There's these wonderful things called the rookie stripes on the back of his bumper. No one's going to work with it. So
Austin Cindric won the Daytona 500 his rookie year at Daytona.
It helps when you have two teammates pushing you the whole time.
I'm pretty sure he was pushing Blaney.
It helps when you have a teammate pushing you, like what Cindric had with Blaney.
Well, he has four teammates, and they're the most loyal teammates. So I'm sure. I mean, I don't know. You got to watch out for Larson, though. He might try to do something stupid, like try to wreck you or something. I don't know. I think he'll improve on it. But that's like a very slow chance or a slim chance just because there's going to be a wreck. He's probably going to get caught up in it. And he has to run up in the pack to learn. Like, he can't ride around in the pack. Like, somebody with experience can. Is NASCAR trigger happy with the caution button?
No.
Apparently, that's another big controversy the past 4 weeks or whatever. They've been throwing out cautions pretty quick for wrecks. And also been kind of inconsistent, like at Auto Club or no, Las Vegas, vomiting or wrecked. And they didn't throw the caution. They kept the race green. As long as they keep showing consistency, it's, you know, it's all that matters. So if they feel like there's a wreck, like with the Harrison Burton situation, I think obviously you got to keep throwing those type of cautions. You can't keep it green next time. But
I guess.
Is there any other topics you have? That's kind of where I ran out of. I don't know where we're sitting at. We're still almost sitting at an hour.
Not really.
Okay. I guess we could jump to our fantasy, our update on that, which I just now saw the points. Everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're leading the points. You won't be after this week, though. So
why not after this week?
Because I've gone from fucking ninth, from fucking 10th to 2nd in points the last 2 weeks. So
yeah, but there's no way you're catching me.
I'm only 23 points behind you. What are you talking about?
I felt pretty good about my picks, and obviously that turned out pretty well.
I still had a better week than you, so.
Well, yeah, because my Toyota, my captain guy was garbage. And, well, I guess I still won with William Byron. But I should have had a 1-2-3 finish with Harvick, Larson, and Byron finishing 1-2-3.
Well, I had a 1st, 2nd, 5th, and 6th, so, and a 7th, so.
Who did you
all my picks in my garage guy finished in the top 7, so.
So you picked Bell, Harvick, Blaney, Byron, and Briscoe.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Who was the biggest loser of the week?
My mother.
Oh yeah, she went from first to like sixth, I think, in the points.
Yeah,
she had Ross.
She went from being up by 12 to being behind by 50. So,
oh dang,
jeez. She was looking good having Hamlin and Chastain in the top 5, in the top 10, and then they decided that they wanted to rekindle the rivalry. So, like a couple of idiots.
Honestly, she had a pretty good pick. Like, Chastain should have finished top 10. Brad should have finished top 10. He was actually running pretty good till all those cautions. Or last caution, yeah. Kyle Busch should have had a decent run going until he had a pit road penalty. Denny had a good run, obviously, going until Chastain. And then Truex was just horrible that race.
Well, one of the people in there actually picked Josh Berry. And I'm like,
did he really?
Are you stupid? Yeah, I'm like, are you stupid? And he's like, huh? He's like, I totally forgot that it was Berry in the car, not Elliott. I was like, yeah, you dumbass.
he got good points though, did he not? Where is he at? I mean, points he'd have gotten, but definitely, I would definitely not have picked him if I'm trying to.
I ain't picking the 9 card till Elliott comes back. So,
well, shoot, even still, then I still probably want to pick him. He's gonna have to get comfortable back racing again. A lot switched up A lot of guys are coming up and a lot of guys are dropping.
Yeah. Well, I've gone from being 10th up to 2nd, so I made a steady, I've made a steady climb, so. Like me and Sean have gone from being 10th and 11th to fucking 2nd and 3rd. So, like, the one guy who's holding on steady to the last place in points is Dylan. He's been last every week so far.
Has he been making his picks?
Yes. He just haven't been that great of picks. Like, this week he had his best week. He had 158 points this week, so.
Oh, yeah. He had Lenny Bell, Reddick.
Like, what really killed him was he only got 60 points for Daytona. So.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
So.
This week's going to be pretty hard because, you could pretty much pick anybody and they could all be caught up in a wreck.
Yeah. I've had 180 points the last 2 weeks, so.
What have I been getting? I got 77 this week.
80. Yeah, you're right about 180 also.
Jeez, I've been up and down. Daytona Auto Club were one of my worst. Had 112, yeah. 124, and finally... Only problem I have, like I always think about too, is the usage. I don't want to use up guys too soon.
Yeah, ask that. Tell it to my mother. She already is down to four usages on like Logano and Harvick. So, I can see that. Yeah, she's used Harvick 4 times. Kyle Busch 5. She's used Harvick 3 times, Busch twice, and Logano twice. So.
Oh, jeez. I've used Byron twice, which I need to stop using him.
I've been good. I've only used people once. So.
I think this week, though, I'm going to start going for some dark horses to kind of save up on some guys. And I don't care if I lose out on a bunch of points. I mean, it saves me guys. Like, I could probably pick a Barry. He'll never race again after about a couple weeks, so. What other topics do we want to kind of go over before we hit predictions? Oh, they have a betting odd now on. Oh, never mind. It's just stupid. They have Larson the favorite though for Atlanta, which is kind of weird.
What?
I don't think I would have picked him as a favorite. Kyle Busch is his third favorite. They have Corey LaJoie as a 24th as the favorite, one of the favorites.
No. Oh.
Which is not a good pick. I think he should be higher than that.
It's Corey fucking LaJoie. He's in a Spire car. That's perfectly good odds for him.
Not at Atlanta. When you go to super speedway races, you got to have guys like Bubba up there. You got to have guys like Stenhouse up there, Almirola.
It's not a super speedway.
Yes, it
is. No amount of – it's Atlanta. It's not a super speedway. It's not close to
a It super races speedway. Like a super speedway.
No, it literally doesn't. It races like a log jam. Is what it races like.
Like a super speedway. That's what Daytona Talladega is a log jam.
You actually have room at Daytona Talladega to make moves. You don't at Atlanta.
You can make moves. As long as you don't get blocked and ran into the wall. Noah Gragson's 30th. Like, he should be up there in the odds. All right, so I'm going to make a pick for this week. I'm going to go with Blaney to win Atlanta.
I'm going to go with Byron. Three in a row. He won this race last year.
Yeah, he won the spring race last year. Yeah. I think he won Hendrick both won of both. Them.
Hendrick won both races last year because Chase led 100, led 100 laps in the.
Yeah, I forgot he won that.
You remember?
Chase wrecked Corey LaJoy.
He did wreck Corey LaJoy.
No, he didn't.
He did the same. He does the same thing that he whines about when everybody else.
Did the same thing. He did what everyone else does. So.
Yeah, he does what everyone else does, but he complains about it when it happens to him. It makes no sense.
Yes, Frank Keselowski that complains when people block him.
Yeah, he's getting blocked and wrecked. Chase is blocking and wrecking everybody else, causing the big one.
You do what you got to do to win. So.
Yeah, but you when it comes down to when it's vice versa, you can't complain. Like Ross Chastain, he didn't get mad what happened this week. I can't Chase do that.
Because Chase actually is better than Ross Chastain, so.
Doubtable. I mean, last season, I'm pretty sure Chastain was more consistent.
Actually, Chase
had more top tens
and a better average finish. Actually, Chase had better average finish than Chastain last year. He was more consistent.
Yeah, but who finished higher in the points? I'm pretty sure Ross Chastain did.
Probably would have been Chase if Chastain didn't fucking turn him through the dog leg.
Hey, that's Chase's fault. Again, he was blocking. You block, you get turned, like Tony says. So picks for... Oh, they don't have betting odds on for Xfinity. For Xfinity race. Gonna make a big wild guess. Ooh, Justin Haley's racing.
Ew.
I might have to pick him. No, I'm going Austin Hill.
Ew.
He's probably been one of the better guys, actually the better guy in Xfinity Series on plate style racing.
I got no clue. Sam Mayer.
Sam Mayer, okay. Is it trucks racing this week? Yeah, they are. Nice.
Yep.
We finally get another truck race. Truck race. See who's racing. Nobody really good's racing, or at least from other series is racing.
Good. So, I'll take Haley Deegan.
She is not going to win.
You never know.
True, but I don't think she's going to win. I mean, she gets wrecked every week.
Are we picking people to win, or are we just picking people to have a better finish?
Well, I mean, you're picking the win, but also, like, who's going to finish, like, good, I guess, too. Like, who's going to have a good race?
I'll still take Deegan for the hell of it. So, and now that I picked her, she's probably going to get wrecked by fucking Daniel Dye or Lawless Allen. So,
I saw that too. I was like, yeah, he's racing this week. I think he got in trouble last year for kicking somebody in the balls or something.
Yeah, he kicked one of his fellow classmates in the testicles and ruptured a testicle. So. So.
Jeez. Interesting. I don't need to pick. I'm going with Stuart Friesen.
Ew.
Okay. That's our picks for this week. Anything before we end it off here?
No, not really.
All right. Next week, hopefully we have our big guest. I forgot his name already. God dang it. Brayton Laster.
You should have just left it as like a guess who. Instead of actually saying who it was.
I doubt anybody would have guessed it right.
I would have just said the pizza man. So.
Oh yeah, the pizza man. I'm actually kind of interested to ask him why he's so obsessed with pizza. Unless he just really loves pizza.
I don't know.
We'll see though. Can't wait for that. And hopefully maybe get some more really cool, interesting guests.
That's your job. So.
I was not even planning on even asking anybody to come on, but this was just a wild throw at the park.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll end it off here, and we'll be back next Monday for recapping of Atlanta and
everything else.
Hearing the story, yeah. It's awesome. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the race weekend.
Fuck the Cowboys.
Nice. Great. Grand. Wonderful. All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
'Ello, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this previous episode. We just kind of went over the weekend that we've had and all the controversy that came about it. We've seen teammates get into each other. We've seen new or old rivals reliving or bringing back their rival, or however you want to call it. I don't know. But we saw that and went over our prediction for Atlanta. So really good episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Continue to help us grow this podcast so that we can, you know, bring some cooler, fun, exciting insights to you guys. We want this to grow to be something that is bigger than I could ever imagine. Like I said, also really excited for next week. We have a really special guest coming on. He's going to talk to us about racing. He's a ARCA series driver, and I cannot wait to hear his story and to hear about his personality, because he has one of the unique personalities on Twitter. So I can't wait to hear about that and just hear about the life of a race car driver, which we probably don't really know much about, because you don't ever see drivers talk about their lifestyle behind closed doors. That's why it's so important that NASCAR does these documentaries and stuff like that. But we're going to get a firsthand experience here of what it's like and what his story is about, and hopefully it helps our podcast grow. But not only that, but helps him get his name out there and hopefully gets people to like him and maybe get more fans for him. I'm definitely a fan, so I'll definitely be rooting for him, but I'm so, so excited, and I cannot wait for this week coming up. And I hope you guys all enjoy your week and going into your weekend. Hopefully you guys have fun watching the Atlanta races. Should be fun, should be exciting. I'm stoked for it, so I can't wait, man. But thank you guys so much for tuning into the JJ Show. We'll see you next week.